Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Sing forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Say that with me. He shall judge the people righteously. Therefore, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. Folks, when you ever see something said twice in the scripture, that's pretty important. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. And you've just about got the entirety of the review, if you will, of last Sunday night. You can certainly get that DVD if you want more. But we talked last Sunday night about why. Why should we rejoice? And the answer is simple. Because God is coming to judge. I can't speak for you, but I struggle in this earth seeing, quote unquote, wicked people get away with wicked things. And the reality is that they don't. They don't. They get away with it for a while. They do. You and I get away with stuff for a while. We do. But every one of God's creation, created people, if you will, we're going to come to judgment sooner or later. You're either going to be judged through the finished work of Jesus Christ, who paid the price for every one of our sins, and that's the best way to get judged. You accept, you come to Christ and say, you're right, Lord, I'm wrong, I'm a sinner, I am absolutely worthy of eternal punishment in a place called hell, but your Son paid the price for my sin on the cross, so I accept that payment, and folks, hallelujah, praise the Lamb, your judgment's done. Your judgment's done. Except the judgment seat of Christ for the believer, where your words, actions, thoughts, and deeds are judged, whether or not they were done for Christ's honor and glory. And we'll get more into that in just a moment. Then there's the second judgment, and that's the one that everybody that's not saved, that's what they're going to go through. You see, Hitler has not gotten away with anything. Saddam Hussein did not get away with anything. And we can fill in the blank. Because every person that does not accept the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for their sins is going to pay for their sins for an eternity in a place called hell. Now watch this. That ought to cause us to rejoice. Not that these people are being judged, but that righteousness is being carried out. And that God is exactly who he says he is. God does exactly what he says he does. He loves you enough to do the right thing. He loves you enough to correct you. Church, can I tell you that on this side of Dwayne Kingston's belt, I'm thankful for it. When I was a little tyke on that side, I was not thankful for it. I did not go up to Dwayne and say, oh, great and mighty dad, who wields the belt so effectively, you are to be praised. I didn't do that. I hid, I cheated, I lied behind his back and all that. But when those things came out, guess what happened? You know, I have never ceased to be amazed to what, and I know, please hear me, and this is for the DVD's purpose. I know that our world no longer accepts, quote unquote, corporal punishment. I recognize that. It doesn't mean that it doesn't still need to be applied. Okay? And I use that word applied in every sense of the word. Amen. So if you live in an old-fashioned house, I'm fitting to save you. I'm fitting to help you. Hopefully you're past that, Brent, but nonetheless. My mama, she wasn't very strong. So for what she lacked in strength, she made up for in amount. Yeah. Now, I discovered that if I would run around the mulberry bush, it was harder for her to get me. You know, she would do that thing. And I could use that. I could wear her out before I got wore out type thing. But watch this. Still, I lovingly feared it. Dad, he didn't have any problem with strength. And he could get it done with one or two. And here was the key. As long as I tried to run away from Dad, you know what all that did? Was allow him to get full extension. Shmack. Yeah, it was revival time. I was surrendering to mission fields and everything else. But I discovered that if you came in close, he risked the chance of coming around and getting himself. So he had to be more accurate. And that usually resulted in a little less of a firm correction. Now, watch this. Church, I just shared with everyone in here how to go through a spanking with God your Father also. You get as close to Him as possible.
That's right.
Lord, you're right. I absolutely blew it. You're right.
Amen.
Please forgive me. I love you. Please help me. Help me, Father, not to do that again, so on and so forth. Now, God's righteous judgment is something you and I should come to absolutely praise Him for. Now, look at verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. So as I dug a little deeper into Psalm 96, I found something. It was quite interesting because I went to look for this group of writings by Charles Spurgeon on the Treasury of David, which is basically the psalm. And he, C.H. Spurgeon, one of the greatest minds of our world, absolutely blessed us with his insight through the Holy Spirit of the Psalms. And so I didn't find it the first day in my library because it was hiding in plain sight. And the next day, I saw it. It was about 12 of these red books. How I missed it, I'll never know. I'm 54 years old. This is what he says about verse 8. Please listen. Jehovah possesses a nature and character peculiar to himself. He sustains various offices and relations, and he has performed many works which he alone could perform. On all of these accounts, something is due him from his creatures. And when we regard him with such affections and yield him such services as his nature, character, offices, and works deserve, then we give unto the glory which is due to his name. Church, the greatest this year, 2020, resolution that you and I could make is that we would learn more about how to truly worship Jesus Christ. Please listen. Let us inquire what is due to Jehovah on account of his nature. Let us inquire what is due to Jehovah on account of the character he possesses. Let us inquire as to what is due to God on account of the relations and offices which he sustains, that of creator and preserver. What is due to Jehovah on account of the works which he has performed in nature, providence, and redemption. And then he just simply says, verse 8 could be divided into these thoughts: the object of worship, the nature of worship, the accompaniment of worship, and the place of worship. We're going to spend just a few moments. We're almost done. But I want to talk to you today about worship. Now, this is a very familiar theme. Some of you perhaps, I hope anyway, can quote the definition of worship that I'm going to quote in just a few moments. But before I quote that definition, I want to share with you where it came from. I believe that every one of you that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can relate to this, what I'm fixing to say. yours and my relationship with Christ usually grows as a result of suffering or a cathartic event. Whether it be the birth of a child, whether it be moving, whether it be a financial reversal, whether it be a loss of a job. In my case, it was an interim period pastoring this church. I was her youth pastor and music pastor, and when Brother John Smith resigned, I became her interim pastor, and for about a year, we were together, just you and I. And the office was over there at that time, and I can take you to the spot after the National Association. I was feeling all of the load, if you will, of the responsibilities of pastoring a church this size, roughly, still at that time. Watch this. And not knowing a thing that I was doing. You know, we all put forward the confidence, but the reality was I'd never pastored a church before. I was struggling. And the church was struggling. We needed a pastor. We wanted a pastor. And the devil was doing his work. My flesh was doing his work. The world was saying what it always says to Christians. Give up. Quit. Go fishing. Go hunting. So many more things to do on Sunday. I guess I'm the only one who's heard that. And right there in that office, when I came back from the National Association, I bought one book, 90-page book, white book, How to Worship Jesus Christ by Joseph S. Carroll. And God changed my life. It wasn't about me learning how to be a pastor. It wasn't about me learning how to be an interim pastor. It wasn't about me learning how to preach. It was about me learning God. And as I learned God, God took care of stuff. As I learned God, I got happier. As I learned about God, I become pretty focused on what I knew God wanted me to do because I understood God. And I'm telling you, I am still in kindergarten, if even. Amen. But I'm just telling you, what the little I know, God has used it to richly bless my life and to use me for His glory. And He's doing the same thing with you, and He wants to do the same thing with every one of us. But we've got to make sure that we're worshiping Him. It is not about what you're doing. It's about being. And as you understand God, it's your relationship with Him that's the most important thing. And He'll work through that. So what is worship? Worship is the response of an adoring heart to the magnificence of God. In the highest sense of the word, it's the occupation of the created with the Creator. It is the pure joy of knowing that you're worshiping the one whose name is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now watch this. I didn't even get that definition from that book, but that book started me on my journey to learn more about worship. I want to ask, or let me get to my notes here, because I've been walking without a net, so hang on. And we're almost done. Notice that we talked about in that worship. Worship is a response of an adoring heart to the magnificence of God. I've got a site, and I'm going to have to get to it here just for a moment. So please show your patience, and I appreciate it. It's going to be worth the wait. Because we're talking about God. God's nature, you could also call it His attributes. You could also call it His muscles. This is what and how He does what He does. And you've all heard it. We've all heard all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present, sinless, immortal, unchanging. We've all heard those things. But church, why have we gotten over them? Why is it so familiar that it doesn't absolutely rock our world? Because you don't know anybody else that can do those things. You and I certainly can't do those things. But I want to throw at you some other words. What about this one? And I give patience. Immortal. God will never die. God will never, ever have a tombstone. God doesn't need a grave. He used one. He used one for 3 days. And then He rose Himself from the grave. That's pretty impressive. He's immortal. That deserves a response, church. That deserves a response. What about this? He's invisible. You can't see God. Do you know what's the joy of that? He's everywhere as a result. David said, God is everywhere. And Evie Hill said, as a result, he's everywhere here. He has no place to go. God has no place to go. He's already there. How about this one? He's unchangeable. Now, for me personally, when I work through these attributes and I have asked God to blow my mind with his all-powerfulness, his ever-presentness, his all-knowingness and all those all things, watch this, and I get to the fact that he's immutable, and that simply means he'll never change. He'll always be immortal. He'll always be all-powerful. He'll always be all-knowing. Perfect memory. Now, I can't speak for you, but I kind of wish that wasn't the case. Perfect memory. Perfect imagination. God dreamt all this stuff up. You were a dream of God. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? He's everywhere present. We said that. He's infinite. He'll always be. He's got a free will. He gave you and I a free will. He's sensible. He's got a conscience. Watch this. He's aware. Church, again, we think some people are getting away with things. They're not getting away with anything. God is completely aware. What should yours and my response to those amazing, awe-inspiring natures, attributes, what should they be? There's only one thing that it can be. Worship. Worship. Second, a response to his name. A response to his name. And this, again, is worship. You're going to respond in worship to the name of God. What is the name of God? Jesus. Listen to these three verses. His name is a strong tower. Those who run to it are safe. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When was the last time that you just sat down, and I know most if not all of you do this, but when was the last time you either went to your porch that you could see nature or you went into nature and you just absolutely worship God because what he does in nature. With this, of course, message on my heart this morning as I looked out into the back of the church, I see this sprawling shadow on the woods from the sun that God created. Now, you and I can cast a shadow, and we can build things to cast a shadow. But we can't match God's shadow and what he can do with that. We had an amazing thing yesterday. Me, Benjamin, and Tony took little Ava squirrel hunting. Very short, very short. We took her squirrel hunting. And do you know what Ava did when she got into the woods? Trees! 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 Oh, to have that two-year-old fascination with what God did. We were carrying her because there were brambles everywhere, and we got to this one spot that there were no brambles, and we put her down. You know what she did? Trees. 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 I've noticed something about two-year-olds. Their vocabulary is very limited, but it doesn't stop them of using it. Trees. Church, we need to really let God blow us away with what you and I take absolutely for granted. Amen. Trees. Do you know what this planet would look like without trees? Colorado. Ooh, got a little bit in my mouth. I'm joking. I'm kidding. Some of you love... You love Colorado. Hallelujah. I'm messing with you. Watch this. The point is, watch this. We should go to Colorado and go, mountains. Mountains. Have you ever tried to climb one? You better not go like this. Yeah, you better. It's called a switchback. Yeah. Pikes Peak, is that what it's called? Pikes Peak. They have switchbacks. And if you don't take the switchbacks, what happens to you is what happened to Nathan Smith at 22 years old, full of vim and vinegar. And, buddy, he ain't going to go no switchback. That takes too long. He's just going to run straight up the hill. He made it two switchbacks, and he hits the ground. It was one thing that you need when you're climbing Pikes Peak, and it's called oxygen. And when you go straight up the hill, you don't have it. So that's why you take your time going up. Why? God created a mountain too big for you and I to climb straight up because he can. A lot of the stuff that you and I see are not just for you and I. It's to prove that God is God. He can do what he wants to do. The proper response to God's name is worship. What about his character? Now, church, listen. The attributes are his muscles. The attributes are how he does the things he does. His character is why he does the things he does. This is a rhetorical question. What is the character of God? The character of God is found in 1 John. I believe it's chapter 4. I forget the verse. God is love. God is love. He loved you so much that he did all of this just to have a personal love relationship with you. So what's our response to his character? Thankfulness. Church, I can't speak for you, but I'm eternally thankful that God loves me so much that he sent his son on the cross to die for my sins. A response to his request. Now, I'm going to give a joke. I hope everybody takes it as that because that's what it's meant for. But it's a common understood theme. It's okay. It's 10 years old. It's okay. I purchased that with my money. It's okay. Now, the next one is purchased with your money, so hopefully I'll take better care of it, right? I got to remember what I was going to say. Yes. Yes. I hope that you will take this as a joke because that's what it's meant as. The regulars here, they hear their loved ones when we ask them to come to church. We hear this a lot of times. I'm not going to a church because all those people want is money. Okay? So let's be true to that and let's hit that point. It's a joke, but none of you laughed. Okay. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Church, if God has gone to the whole trouble of creating a universe just to create you, just to have a relationship, that ought to warrant something. Yeah. And watch this. It's all his. 100% of it is his. And all he asks for is an offering. He asks for 10%. And as believers, we give that. This is a wonderful tithing church. And we give that. Why? Because we're grateful. We love him. And watch this. He asks for it. He doesn't ask for it because he needs it. He asks for it because you and I need it. We need that weekly reminder. God, you are taking care. You've got my life in your hands. And you are absolutely in control. Lastly, oh, I got to pick up this. Hopefully it still works. It works. A response to his invitation. Look at here. And come into his courts. Come into his courts. Church, we need to do what we're doing today every week. Come into his courts. You and I need to worship God. Every week we need to come cooperatively and worship. Every day we need to come individually and worship. We need to worship God. Why? Because worship is the response of an adoring heart to the magnificence of God. In the highest sense of the word, it's the occupation of the created with the creator. It is the pure joy of knowing that you're worshiping the one whose name is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's all stand. Musicians, will you come? Keep looking at me just for a moment. There were two things that book talked about, How to Worship Jesus Christ by Joseph S. Carroll. That you're not worshiping until these two things happen. This comes from Revelation. You're not properly worshiping God until you have reached a place of total surrender. Whatever you want, Lord. And please hear me. I know how difficult that is. And I'm not saying that you have to have, quote unquote, done everything that you feel like you should do sooner or later, as much as at that moment in time, you have to surrender to God's authority in your life, that God, through your power, I will do what you have called me to do. Total surrender. And the other thing that you are not properly worshiping until you've done is to give Him credit for everything good in your life. Church, you've heard me say it many times, and it came from this book, me saying it. If you see Ben Kingston ever do anything positive, it's because of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only reason that you or I can do anything positive, in my humble opinion. So when you've totally surrendered to Christ and when you've totally given Him credit for all the good things in your life, you're ready to worship. You're ready to worship. I hope and pray you'll make a New Year's resolution that you're going to worship Jesus Christ more and more and more. And remember, you ready? Remember, trees. Trees. Yeah, it's just that simple. It's just that simple. How many times, church, how many times has the most simplest thing absolutely changed your day and your outlook? I mean, just something simple. I'm gonna give Benjamin a hard time real quick. Benjamin came out of the DMV. Y'all all know how absolutely oppressing that can be, right? He comes out of the DMV. He calls me. Dad, they didn't give me any plates. I paid all that money to get that truck, and they didn't give me new plates. Do I need to go back in? What's going on? Son, they don't give you new plates every time. What? Did you get the tags? And he's looking through the paper. He goes, these little things? Yeah, those little things that you spent hundreds of dollars to get that truck legal for, that's what you need. That's terrible. Welcome to life, son. Trees. It's the simple things in life, church. I love you. Thank you for being patient with me in this message. Watch this. A crowd this size. You may be here today and you've never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. This is an invitation. We're inviting you to come forward. We'd love for you to come. We'll send you with someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Maybe you want to come and join this church. Whatever the case may be, let's sing. Will you come? Thank you.